welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life. So the thing that the Lord put on my heart started, I'm sure it's been going on longer than I actually know, but when it started coming to the surface of my heart was several weeks ago when Sierra and I were studying the book of Joshua. We've been going through the Old Testament, and man, it's fun to just slowly plod through the Old Testament and talk it out with somebody, you know? Then you start really being able to examine things from different angles and perspectives, and it's just been fun. So that was several weeks ago when this particular thing started to really come to the surface of my heart. And then last Monday, we started this awesome women's Bible study. Holy cow. I was like, peel me off the ceiling, because it was so much of what God was speaking to me. And I just love that so much about our walk with God, how he will reinforce things and confirm and affirm. Yes, you're hearing my voice. Yes, I'm speaking to you. Yes, this is what I'm speaking to, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ too, for this time. So anyway, I believe it's a word in season. And for those of you who are in the Women's Bible Study, it's going to really sound a lot like some of the stuff we were studying this week. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to kind of title this Orienting to Christ. And, you know, living in this world, we can orient to so many things that demand our attention. And we have a song where we sing about things, lesser things demanding our attention, right? Things that capture our gaze and our attention almost demand us to orient to them, you know? And let's just talk about what the word orient means. You know, it's like getting your equilibrium about whatever, or about life, or whatever topic. I looked it up in Google, and it says to align or position something relative to the points of a compass or other specified positions. So, like with a compass, if I know where north is, I generally know where the other directions are, right? It orients me to my position geographically in a broad sense. And adjust or tailor something to specified circumstances or needs. And then this one, it resounded with me. Finding one's position in relation to new and strange surroundings. So, example, from like we're going from one reality into another. And that could be like we could use having a new job as an example. You're used to doing things one way or doing something, and maybe it's a completely different job you're going into, or a school. And there's a time when there's like a class called orientation class, right? To get you oriented to the rules, to the new surroundings, to the faculty, maybe to students or your coworkers, what the expectation is on you for your job, just to get your bearings, right? You get oriented. Okay, this is brand new, and now I need to understand what my surroundings are, what's expected of me, etc. So I just want to open with prayer here. Father, I just thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. I thank you so much that we have your Holy Spirit living in us to guide us, to orient us, to speak to us and confirm and affirm your word, your ways, your thoughts. And we ask right now, we just put on the mind of Christ this morning. We put on our student cap from the Holy Spirit. We want to learn from you, Lord. We ask you to teach us your ways so we can walk in your truth. Give us the ears of a learner this morning. Give us a heart of a receiver so we can receive what it is that you're saying, Lord. And we trust you and we acknowledge your lordship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to put these helpful things on. All right. So I just turned 49, and that's a good time. It's attached to these glasses. So there are things that shape us in the world, and we know how we were raised. We know, there are natural things that orient us in life. So on a broad scope, our surroundings tell us information. Our experiences will give us information. The way our parents raised us or whoever raised us informs us of things. And examples of how people live their life will give us an idea of maybe how to behave in a certain setting or maybe not, or how not to behave in a certain setting. But all those things form how we view the world and how we orient to our scenario or to the world in general. And so there's so many things that can shape, impact, influence us. And, we're designed that way. We're designed to learn. We're designed to have experiences that shape us, right? And but there are so many different ways. Education, society can shape and influence us and orient us. Unfortunately, sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's an unfortunate thing we experience that gives us a certain worldview, perception, and we learn how to kind of cope with situations. And that's an orientation, of sorts. And so we function and we respond and we think a certain way. Every single one of us have been impacted this way without fail. And because we're human beings, we're moldable, we're imprintable. And sometimes even our own feelings can, we see this a lot right now on the earth in our society. Our feelings dictate our orientation, our sinful desires, or what we see happening. Oh, so that's the thing, or that's how I should think about this. I need to orient myself to that way of thinking or that way of feeling because I feel so strongly this way. I'm going to orient myself to that behavior, that mindset, or that lifestyle. So all these things are constantly speaking to us because we're sensory. We're going to absorb all this, right? And it's going to be informing us in one way or the other. But I believe we're here this morning because there is another way to orient ourselves, obviously. As believers, we are called out from among them. We're called out of the patterns of this world. We're called out of thinking the way the world thinks. And there's so many scriptures that detail this to us. But there's actually something, and we've gone over this before, but I just want to say it. There's actually something spiritual that happens when we come to Christ. And it is called transformation. So we went from being familiar with our own methods, our own way of operation, into a new kingdom and into new information, right? And the old passed away and all things become new. Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting what's behind, I press on towards the mark. Isaiah, which Carla mentioned last week, 43:18-19, do not call to mind the former things. Pay no attention to the things of old. Behold, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. If we're just relying on our natural thinking, we have to drop that way of thinking because God's making impossible things happen. He is making streams in the desert. the impossible. He's asking us to defy our orientation from the natural way of thinking. And he's not just asking it of us, but he is empowering us to do that. He is giving us the ability to obey him. Whenever there's a command, whenever there is a way to do things, a step of obedience for us to take, we're not out on a limb on our own trying to do that. We have the power, the engine of the Holy Spirit enabling us to respond. It's a response ability that we have. And we are not only able, but we're commanded, you know. And if you love me, you'll obey me, Jesus said in the book of John. And that's not a threat. It's a fact. If your heart is oriented to me, you will. You will. The fruit of your life will be obedience. The fruit of your life will be surrendering your will to mine. And it's we are put through an orientation class when we become a new creature in Christ. And there's a lot that happens in the spirit. We are a new creature. We're new. We become alive to Christ. We're bonded with him. We become sons and daughters of the Lord. That is a positionally totally different situation than what we were experienced before Christ. And so now that tangible thing has happened, and now there is something to walk out. There are further steps. God doesn't, he does everything that we need in order to be saved in one shot when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's not with terrified horror. It's in reverential awe. And hey, I realize that you're the Lord. My orientation changes from I'm the boss to you're the boss. My feelings are no longer the boss. But what you say about me is the boss. That's what's going to run my life. That's what's going to rule my day. And it's walking. It isn't a one and done, obviously, because we know we live with ourselves. We know what it's like to say, I will never, ever do that again. And like with the next breath, we do it again. And, you know, that's relying on our own strength. But when we trust in the Lord, this is orientation class from the Holy Spirit as a new creature. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own orientation, but in all your ways, orient to him, and he will make your path straight. He will direct your paths. He is asking us for a complete revamping to align with the creature he's made us to be. So our spirit is saved, but our soul needs some sanctification. And the Bible actually instructs us, it isn't the Lord who sanctifies us. Sanctify yourselves is what the Bible teaches. So in other words, it requires obedience. When we walk holy as he is holy, we're agreeing with our position in Christ already. But that doesn't mean every single thing we do will look like that, will look holy. But God is saying, I want you to reorient yourself to my kingdom way. And scripture says, Paul says, I die daily. I die daily and I take up Christ. I take up the new man. And that it's a challenge and it's a call to obedience that I will acknowledge you in all my ways. When I was a child, I went to a Christian school, and every Wednesday, so from kindergarten through eighth grade, I went to the school. Every Wednesday we had chapel, and we had to say three pledges of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen again, risen and coming again with, oh gosh, now I forgot it. Anyway, trust me, we did this every Wednesday. And then the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide God's words in my heart that I might not sin against him. And, you know, you didn't really know what you were saying back. I mean, you didn't, like, ponder and analyze it. At least I didn't. And but growing up, you know, that has just, it's stuck in my heart. That is an orienting scripture right there. Your words will I hide in my heart so I won't sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so in our walk, there is this call to be okay with sometimes only seeing your feet and the light God is giving you for the next step. And that's different than living in the natural world where we want to plan it all out, where we want to know what's coming next. No, God, I'm going to orient myself to what your word says. Sometimes my life will look like I can only see my feet, and the next step I'm taking lights up as I take it. Sometimes, and this is fun, when there's a light to my path, I can see a little bit more, right? But either way, God, I will not stray from the light you're putting on the path. I will be satisfied. There's another scripture that says, you know, you're my portion forever. So whatever the Lord supplies me in a moment, I'm going to be satisfied and content with what he's giving me. And we know if it's him by orienting ourselves to what the word says. And that is our compass. That is our true north as believers. This is what we are called to submit to. This is what we are called to constantly put in front of us. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by challenging the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The ESV says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be reoriented by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the daily challenges, the dying daily challenges, include scriptures, and you could pick so many scriptures. I just picked a few. Okay, Lord, I want to know how to do things unto you. I want to know how to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. I want to know what that looks like for my life. And so let scripture interpret scripture. It says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I looked that up and I was like, I thought it was wisdom. Well, it is also that. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And this is all about, the wisdom of this world has nothing for me as a believer. It really doesn't. It'll really come in second. I mean, we got to learn practical things, right? Like how to brush your teeth or why eating healthy is good. Like, those are good things to learn, right? But first, I am going to ask the Lord to give me his wisdom. And he says, how do you get that? You get that by putting him first, by having a sense of awe that he is God and that I am not. I don't get to say to myself, go this way. I no longer will obey the dictates of my previous orientation, right? Proverbs 7:1-3 says, my son, keep my words, treasure up my commands with you, keep my commandments and live, keep my teachings as the apple of your eye, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablets of your heart. In Jewish custom, when the law was given to Moses, it covered every aspect of life. It was the micromanager of the year award to live that way. It dictated, but it was by design. It was to show us God's intent and his way that he wants us to live, with him constantly present in every activity of our lives, constantly aware of his presence. I love that simple song, Holy Spirit. Let us become more aware of your presence. And it's not just in places where we think we need God, but it's in every area of life. It belongs to him. I am not my own. You are not your own. You're a slave to Christ, a willing slave to Christ. And that means I am at your service. I am at your, let it be to me according to your word, like Mary said. You know, because his word is everything. Jesus is defined as the word of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the emphasis the Lord puts on his word. I have lifted my word even above my name. And because this is something that he has given to us that's inspired to orient us to his kingdom. And that's why it has to be ever in front of our eyes. The children of Israel were instructed, the parents were instructed to teach the children all the things that the Lord had done. I want you, you know, I want you to write it here. I want you to keep it here. When they ask about this, bring them to this altar of remembrance of what the Lord has done and how in every situation it points back to the Lordship in your life. And they were fully, their whole culture, the way they lived their life was fully inundated with the commands, right? Well, now we don't have to live by that, you know, micromanaging thing and keep up with all those works. But the spirit of this is still the same, is that now because we have the Holy Spirit with us and in us, he dwells within us, then we can become aware of where he's at in every single area of our life. This is the orientation we are called to have as believers. We cannot compartmentalize our faith with how we live. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. There's a song that we sing called The Blood. It's such a good song. And the beginning verse is, everything's changed. It's getting harder to recognize the person I was before I encountered Christ. I don't walk like I used to. I don't talk like I used to. I am washed from the inside out. There is meant to be a visible transformation when we come to Christ. We do not stay the same. The outworking of salvation should be visible to all. The Bible calls us living epistles, known and read by all men. And this is so that we can point others to him. It's in him we live and move and have our being. We're completely oriented to his kingdom way. And the thing is that it is important to have a daily exercise of coming into the word, coming into prayer, only because we're fallible. It isn't about, like what Pastor Ed always says, it's not about gaining any brownie points with the Lord. It is about staying oriented to his kingdom perspective, because we live in these things. We see out of these things. We hear. We take in things in these things. And so many nouns. But so many things that we have to work through in this natural. We, you know, and God knows that. He came and did what we are doing. And to show us, hey, I get it. I get the pulls of the flesh. But I'm calling you higher. I am calling you to know a higher way, a kingdom. I want the kingdom to become more of your reality than the realities you interact with on a daily basis, than the natural realities. So I just want to talk about Joshua a little bit. And, you know, the children of Israel were in slavery for 420-ish years in Egypt, right? And so then God does all these miraculous things with Moses. And he gets them out of Egypt through so many signs and wonders, and just, it is a big deal. And it is a, it's like God said, now is the time, and I'm doing it now, and this is what's going to happen. And there was, it was very messy, And but God showed himself as the God of Israel, and he was claiming them as his chosen people and responding to their cries. So anyway, he just did so many miraculous things through Moses. Eventually, Joshua became his right-hand man. And Joshua saw the 40 years. You know, it's interesting that they spent 10% of their time wandering that they had in Egypt. It's just kind of an interesting thing that popped out to me. So 40 years they're in the desert, and God's doing miraculous thing, and there's so much complaining and so many things, you know, mistakes, but God does amazing things. He feeds them. It says that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, there wasn't anyone sick or feeble among, I don't know how many, was it millions of people? Just a lot of people, and all ages, and there wasn't anyone sick or feeble among them. Unless they got really crabby and disobeyed and then were bitten by snakes, you know, stuff like that. But that was all spiritual stuff going on. You know, that was all attitudinal stuff that was being dealt with. And so they're, you know, they, Joshua sees all this. He's familiar with all the things, okay, that's going on. He's familiar with how Moses talked with God. He's oriented now. He's in the 40 years, he's become very oriented to how things go and becoming familiar with the way that God works and how the people work, which is the messy part. And eventually Moses, you know, he does something that offends the Lord, and he's not able to get into the promised land. And so Joshua is raised up as the next leader to take them into Jericho or into Canaan. And so Moses' dying breath, he's basically saying to Joshua, be strong and be very courageous, for the Lord will be with you. And so Joshua, now the transition, he's coming into his new job description, right? And it starts with these orienting words, be strong and courageous. After Moses died, the Lord kept speaking that to Joshua, and it apparently he told the children of Israel, because then they repeated it back to him a few times. And so this was just going on and on and on, and I just love that God's like, your orientation, you know, I've been teaching you along the way, but now that you're at the helm, these are your words to orient your season to. So he said, I will be with you just as I was with Moses. So that's something to remember. Heed back to how I was with Moses. That's how I'm going to be with you. And then he says in Joshua 1:6, be strong and courageous. And then he tells him something else for his new season to orient him into his new leadership position. This book of the law that he gave through Moses will not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So that was the overarching word for Joshua. I changed my notes this morning, so now I'm shuffling. Okay. There's a scene here that's interesting. So I went from a broad sweep of what our orientation should be as new creatures in Christ. But I'm going to go down to specifics now, because we deal with different seasons in our lives. The one thing never changes is that in all our ways we acknowledge him, right? And we're going to keep his word hidden in our heart. Those are like foundational bedrocks to how we are called to walk our Christian life. And then there's seasonal things, and that's what Joshua was dealing with, was a seasonal change. And there was just some things that hit me here that I had to keep going day after day, going back and reading this account, because I just felt like the breath of God all over it. And I was like, hey, God, just whatever you want to say about this to me, just keep showing me. And I know there's so much more, too. I mean, the children of Israel, as we know, was given to us as an example, right, of how our flesh works, and was given to us as an example so we would understand the ways of God. The Bible says that Israel saw the works of God, but the Lord revealed his ways to Moses. Man, and that's powerful too. Like, I want to know your ways. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. So the Lord was about to, like, reset a little bit of Joshua's orientation. If he felt like maybe he knew the ropes, God was about to show him, you might not know them exactly as you think. And also that's by design, because if we're not living by faith, it's not pleasing to God. There's always going to be something in our new assignment or our present reality that's going to require faith, or there's no vibrancy in our relationship with Christ. This is the currency we live by here on this side. So what God did was he led them to the Jordan River, which was right before the city of Jericho. And we may know this story already, but by then the Ark of the Covenant had been built by the specs God gave them to build it, as where his presence would dwell is in the ark, and that was to be how Israel would see. When they saw the ark, they knew the presence of God was with them. And so he said, take your priests and have everybody stand this many cubits away. Don't get too close to that thing, because we know later on that's a very deadly thing to touch that ark, the covenant. Anyway, so he had the priests step into Joshua 4. Joshua commanded the priests in verse 17, come up out of the Jordan. Oh, wait, did I go to the wrong thing? Possibly. It's possible that I did the wrong thing. No, I think that's right. He commanded the priests bearing the Ark of the Testimony to come out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground. The waters of the Jordan returned to the... Okay, so yeah, I did miss the wrong. But anyway, when they went in, the waters parted. And then the children of Israel knew at that moment that Joshua had stepped into his new assignment and that God was with him like he was with Moses. And God was proving that his word was true. I will be with you. And this is your orienting word here, Joshua. I will be with you in the same way I was with Moses. And we will always see God come through to the promises that he gives us in our new season. Ask him what your orientation looks like. What are my words? What are my words from you, God, that I will see you come through, that I can hold on to? Because he will confirm his word. So he parted the waters like he did with Moses. And it was so that they would fear the Lord. Yeah, I didn't write this down because this was kind of last minute stuff. So later on, Lord, we ask for your peace in Jesus' name over that situation. So after all that had happened, they got onto the other side, and the people encamped in chapter 5. They encamped on a bank there, and they started eating from that place and the fruits of that land. And just a point of interest is that when they started eating from their promised land, the manna that they had depended on for 40 years dried up. It no longer happened. So, you know, it's God saying, okay, what you've always depended on won't be what you will always depend on, because I want you always depending on me, not the way in which I deliver provision to you, not the way in which you've always seen me do things. I want to be that. I want to be your study. I want to be your foundation. And as mature believers, this is what he calls us into, deeper and deeper and deeper all the time, because we grow from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He's always calling us into that deeper place. So don't be content with how the Lord has always done things. So then in verse 13, chapter 5, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. This is the thing that was breathing life all over me when I was reading it. A man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand, and Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? This was not a yes or no question, but the man said, no. which made me laugh out loud when I read it. And I read it before, but it just really stood out to me. No, I am, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. And now I have come. And do you know that this is what they call a Christophany? Jesus is the captain of the host. So this was Jesus appearing to Joshua. And Joshua's name, is it in Hebrew, is Yeshua? Is it Hebrew? And so is Jesus, obviously, you know? So it's just interesting. There's so many things to ping on in this. But he says, so he's actually Jesus. And Joshua fell appropriately on his face to the earth. He suddenly understood what was going on and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And Joshua's orientation was, there's a man in army clothes with a drawn sword. I need to check him out. What is going on? He was dealing in the natural realm, right? But the answer of this person caused him to be like, okay, he didn't answer according to the terms Joshua was setting. He wasn't answering inside the scope of what Joshua knew. And I think so many times we can get hung up on something because God isn't speaking to us in the language we're used to, because he wants us to come higher. He said, I will reveal myself to the soul that seeks me. So if there's something you're feeling a little stumped at, if my answer seems like this wasn't a yes or no, God, this was like, give me more information, you know, answer my question the way I put it. And God's like, I'm going to answer you in a kingdom way because I want your understanding to be lifted. I want you to gain understanding. And the Bible teaches us that the fear of the Lord gives us understanding and gives us wisdom. So Joshua correctly responded by falling on his face and worshiping. And that is when there's something, and Lord, you, I know we're going to be walking through this here because I'm talking about it out loud. There's always a test whenever you preach something, I think. But, you know, and let it be, you know, but whenever there is something that I come up to that is a quandary, and I'm like, that is actually not what I asked, Lord, it might be a moment to worship. It might be a moment to surrender and say, I don't understand everything. And that sometimes can be worship. Instead of drawing conclusions to whatever is speaking to me in the natural, I need to worship and get my head on straight. I need to get my worship on. I need to get things cleared up so that I can receive the reality of the kingdom God is trying to get across to me. And he's not trying, because everything he does is successful, right? God is clearly lifting me up into a new level of understanding. And I will, Lord, with all my ways, acknowledge you, even in when I don't understand it, even when it seems confusing. So I believe God gives us his language in his word to communicate his intent, to communicate his ways. And when we come up against something that goes, God, this is not my experience, though. So, and he said, then I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher in faith, that every word that is spoken from here is true. I want you to believe it. I'm calling you to believe it. Even if it doesn't answer your question directly, I'm calling you to accept that what I say and what I have given you, inspired by the Holy Spirit, I need you to submit to this. And I need you to surrender your own understanding. I need you to lay aside everything you think you've learned about whatever and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Reconstruct my knowledge. Reconstruct my understanding and what I've learned, what I think is wisdom. And he'll build upon what is true. But let him burn the things that aren't true, that have become the constructions of our own mind, our own belief systems, our own experiences even. Let the word of God speak to your past experiences. Because sometimes that's the construction that needs to, the deconstruction. That's the deconstruction that might need to happen. And it only comes by the hand of God. It's not us building a new belief system on our own. It's got to be anchored in his word. So God is speaking a shift in our mentality this morning. He is speaking a shift in our orientation. We're never graduating from being renewed in the spirit of our mind. He wants to shake up our understanding of things, to bring us deeper, to awaken awe and the fear of the Lord in us, and to increase our dependence upon him. So let's just pray. Father, we hide your word in our heart so that we won't sin against you. We know that anything that is not of faith is sin, and we ask you right now to just rebuild the broken down constructs of our mind that we have depended on. We ask that you would change our understanding, that you would infuse us with the fear of the Lord. We surrender to you this morning. And if you have never fully given your heart over to the Lord, you're watching online or anybody in the room, and you have never actually said, I surrender my ways, I surrender my whole belief system and what I have learned to know what is, believe what is true. And now I'm feeling challenged that maybe those things aren't true. I just want to open up an opportunity right there in your seat or right there at home, wherever you're watching from, to just ask the Lord to be your Lord. So you can just repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am not my own Savior. I recognize that nothing I do will save me. I recognize that I have built my life on false realities. And I surrender my way. And I ask you to help me orient to you. Jesus, I orient myself to you. I orient myself to your word. And I trust and I put my faith in what you have done for me on the cross. I will, in all my ways, acknowledge you, and I trust that you're making my path straight. So, Father, I thank you for people who are receiving Jesus for the first time. Father, I pray that you would send people on in their pathway to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. God, and that this morning you would protect the word that your Holy Spirit has delivered. We ask you to seal your word and the breath of the Holy Spirit in our hearts this morning. And that you would cause us to remember the things that you've done and forget the things that are in the past that are of no value. I give you thanks and praise now in Jesus' name.